Let us all say amen. I want to thank Brother Smith for leading us in the hymn, that particular hymn, because we can keep falling in love with him over and over again. As the Lord keep blessing us and showing us his love toward us, we can respond to him through our obedience. I want to thank all those brothers that have gone before me, those that have offered prayers on behalf of us all, those one had read scripture reading, led us in communion and in our offering. I want to thank all of those that have been a part of worship thus far. Want to extend an invitation to those that are with us, especially those that may not be members of the Church of Christ. We want you to know you are honored guests, and we're thankful to have you on this afternoon. A couple of things we want you to know, and I'll give you these things. You can write them down in Jeremiah 10:23. Jeremiah realized that he said, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct himself." Man needs a spiritual guide, and that guide comes from the Word of God. Jesus, when he gave his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33, he said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." So Jesus prioritized for man what should be first in his spiritual life, that is seeking the kingdom of God. And then when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night in John chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus responds to him. He said, the Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So that which man should seek, that Jesus said, unless a person is born again, and that's a spiritual birth, he could not see the kingdom. And then those that were added to the Lord, in Acts 2:47, the Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as to be saved. So I want to share those things with those that are listening with us, and I will close my message today sharing with you how that can be done, what Jesus talked to Nicodemus about. And so for those that were with us on this morning, just want to 3 points want to make from this morning's message as we look at this afternoon's message from the letter of James. The 3 points we made this morning: one was that from James 1:12 was that blessed is the person that handle the trials of this life. James said there was a crown of righteousness waiting for a crown of life waiting for that person. Number two, we wanted to share from James' letter that James says that every person is tempted through their own improper desire. James said that in James 1:14. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust. We also said that when those improper desires connect with one's will, that's when that sin possibility becomes pregnant in the heart of an individual. And we also shared, as we closed this morning, that James shared with the readers that God is the source of goodness. God is the one. Every good gift and every perfect gift come from above, from God that send down those blessings. And so this afternoon, we want to look briefly from the Word of God, and with the subject title that was read in your hearing. James said, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." So we'll pick up at verse 19 in James' letter that he wrote to those Christians. James says in verse 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. James says then in those that verse that we cannot properly listen to God as well as others when we are fueled with anger. James says we ought to be ready to hear, slow to speak, but also slow to become angry. Then he tells us why. He says in verse 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And righteousness of God is that state or condition wherein one is in a right relationship with God through obeying the will of God. The Holy Spirit gives the reason why we should be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath, because when we are, he said that anger that's in man cannot work the righteousness of God. He said, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. And so James here compares our life and our actions as like having on clothes that are not clean. He said, wherefore, lay apart or put away from you. Take off those dirty, the word filthiness, those dirty garments that are overflowing with dirtiness, he says, and naughtiness. And naughtiness is that ungodliness of life that one can have. He said, and then receive with meekness. So that tells us we have to prepare ourselves, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. So the word in the scriptures is compared to the seed that is planted. Note in Luke chapter 8, and the verse is number 11. Luke chapter 8, and the verse is number 11, where Jesus says, in Luke's writing, he says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. So that which we plant should be the word of God planted in our heart is a seed. And then the psalmist writer in Psalms 119, and the verse is number 11, 119, I want to get there with you, and the verse is number 11, what the psalmist writer said. He said, thy word, talking about God, have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. We talked about that this morning, about how Christ, three times when the devil approached him in Matthew chapter 4, trying to tempt him, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, each time Jesus used the word of God, thus it is written, to combat Satan. And so that's our ammunition to fight the devil. So he says here that we have to have the engrafted word, meaning to plant and plant the word of God in our heart. He says, and if we do that, it's able to save our soul. Now, these to whom James was writing were already Christians. So when he said, which is able to save, it was to keep them in their current condition or to preserve them as being saved. He said, your soul. So what James was saying to them in that writing in verse number 21, he said, if you implant the word of God in your heart, it has the ability to keep you on track with the Lord. We talked about that this morning from Galatians 5:16, that if we walk in the Spirit, or we're influenced by the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then in verse number 22, where I get my title from, James says, But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. He says, deceiving your own self. So when James was writing to them about being doers of the word, doers of the word means that I exercise in my behavior, and also I'm to be motivated by the word of God. The word of God is in me, and my behavior is actions are manifested by the word of God that's in my heart, and also the word of God motivates me to live as a Christian, to do those things as a Christian. He said, don't just be a listener of God's word. You know, we can be on the call this afternoon and I can listen to the word of God, but the word of God, as James is saying, is designed to motivate you. It's designed for you to put it into action. It's designed for you to be the type of Christian that God would have you to be through the word of God. So James said, don't be a hearer, because if you're a hearer, you're only deceiving your own self. And so in Romans chapter 2, and the verse is number 13, Romans chapter 2, we'll find when Paul wrote the Romans in Romans chapter 2, and the verse is number 13, Paul said, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. So I'm not to be one to just hear the word of God. The question on the floor is, are you putting the word of God in your heart, and is the word of God influencing your actions? The way you interact with people, the way you treat people, the way your attitude, is it influenced by the word of God? Because James said, be doers. Paul even says, be doers. And then Christ himself. So the hearer and the receiver of the word must show itself in the life in order for us to be blessed and to be saved. That's what James said in his writing. But Jesus also said, as I shared this morning in Luke, the chapter is 11 and the verse is number 28. Luke 11:28. Note what Jesus said. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word and keep it. Meaning, that means continue in it and do it. Jesus said, not only are that person blessed if he keeps the word of God. Jesus said that in Luke's writing. So we see here that we are, my point being, my encouragement to you this afternoon is to put the word of God in your heart, and others ought to be able to see it in your life that you are living. So James says, note now, he says in verse number 23, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He said, James says, it's like one that is looking in a mirror at his face. James says, verse 24, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. James says, that person that is not a doer of the word, but one that simply listens and hears the word of God, he's like a man who looks at his face and walks away, and James says, immediately he's forgotten what manner of person he is. The look in the mirror is like the hearer, again, who forgets what he has heard from the Word of God. That's the one that James is identifying in verses 23 and 24. He's like that person, looks in the mirror, forgets who he was. It's like the Christian, the one that comes, you're on the call this afternoon, you hear the Word of God, and if I'm asked tomorrow morning, where was the subject come from, what was the subject about, if I can't retain those thoughts from the Word of God, that's what influences my behavior. But James began now to look positive back on it. Verse 25, he said, but whosoever, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. So what James is saying is when you look at the word, whoso looketh, that word comes from a word that means, if you turn to John chapter 20, that word means to stoop and to look inside. When Jesus was buried in John chapter 20, and the verse is number 4, we pick up with Peter and the other disciple when they was going to the grave of Christ. It says, so they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre, or they came to the grave first. Now look at verse number 5 is where we get the word, James calls the word looking. He says, and he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. And so what I'm saying from that, what the Lord is saying, or the Holy Spirit is saying through James, is we need to take a deep look into the Word of God, allow the look to remain in your heart, and couple it with obedience to the Lord's will. So James has said, we take a look into the Word of God, and we all should be studying the Word. Make time every day to study the Word of God as the Bereans were, looking into the Word of God daily, studying the Word of God. And then James says that we look into the complete law of liberty. When the Bible then was complete at this time, he says, whoever look into the complete law of liberty and continue therein, that means to continue with me, to stay close to it. Stay close to the law of liberty. James saying, this person being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. And then as I hasten toward a close, James says in verse number 26, and the verse is number 27, after talking about that doer of the word and how one ought to be a doer of the word, looking into the Word of God and continuing, staying close to the Word of God, James says, if any man, verse 26, among you seem to be religious, talking about your external acts of worship, he says, and bridleth not his tongue, or don't hold his tongue in check, James says, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. James said, you deceive yourself when you can't bridle your tongue. He said, your religion is vain. And then evidently this was going on during this time, but it can't apply to us even in 2021. James says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, He said to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So James says, when it comes to religion, James says that we are one, what he called undefiled or not corrupt before God, and the Father God and Jesus. He says this, those that are fatherless, those children, evidently during this time, there were children that were without parents. We call them orphans. He said they ought to be, as a Christian, there ought to be visitation from you. And then he said those that are widows, those that do not have a husband or have lost their husband, he says to visit them in their affliction. In other words, when they're going through stuff, we talked about that this morning, when they're going through stuff that burdens their spirit, James said there ought to be a visit. And I want to say to all of us, we ought to visit those and check in on those. We know right now, as a congregation here on the call, where there's a desire for us to visit and to do things, but we want to follow whatever guidelines there are anticipatory of the building being put back, restored back in order, that we can fellowship. But again, that visitation that James says to them should be done by Christians. And then he said also, it's a responsibility of each one of us to not allow the moral stains of the world to be on us. He said to keep yourself unspotted from the world. James says, the point today, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. If you're on the call this afternoon and you're not a Christian, how does one become a child of God, a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ? We find in Romans chapter 6, or first beginning in Romans chapter 1, we find that Paul shares something with those in Rome in Romans chapter 1 that he was desired to do. He said in Romans 1:15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And the gospel being in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, the three facts that Jesus Christ died for our sins, he was buried in a tomb, and he rose again the third day. They pierced him in the side with a spear, and out came blood and water. And with that blood, he shed it for our sins, but he also made a purchase, Acts 20:28, of the church. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So for one to become a Christian, you've heard the gospel, the three facts that Jesus Christ died for your sin, was buried, rose again the third day. You believe that, verse number 16, then one must repent of their sin, meaning repentance starts with you turning to God and the word of God. You make the confession that I believe, Acts 8:37, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then we will water baptize you. Then you find in Romans chapter 6 the actual teachings of that, where Paul said in Romans 6:1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Right now, you're in your sin. And he said, God forbid, or God won't allow a person to stay in their sin and to live with him eternally. He said, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So our responsibility is to die to sin. Jesus died for sin. We die to sin. How do we do that? Paul reminded them. He said, know ye not, or do you remember, that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. So when we are baptized, we are baptized into the death of Christ. And when he died, there was water and there was blood. Those same two elements must be present when you die to sin by faith. The blood is in the water. Thereby the Bible says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. So what we do, we die with Christ in water baptism, and we rise up to a newness of life, and the Lord adds us to the only church you can read about in the Bible, knowing that Christ suffered on that cross for our sins. He died on the cross that we can live eternally with God the Father. And he established his church, and it belongs to Christ. The scripture phrase in Romans 16:16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. If you are interested in obeying the Lord, get in contact with the person that put you on the call so we can have you baptized for the forgiveness of your sin, and the Lord will add you to the only church you can read about in the Bible. You'll then be saved at that point of your obedience, culminating your obedience in water baptism. If there's someone today, please reach the person that invited you to the call. I thank you very much for your listening ear on this afternoon.